5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tom Iannelli here with you. Another amazing podcast to help you on your journey. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Angel.
My friend, how are you? Let me get my microphone. My goodness, my microphone wasn't in the right spot. Listen, we're a little hurt still from, you know, we talked about the Mets. They're no longer in, but we're in the fall season. The foliage is beautiful, and it's always a pleasure to be here on the Croc Podcast.
Angel, number one, I'm in denial, so that hurt a little bit. And number two is there's always next year.
That's right.
And I'm going to say something that you're absolutely going to hate hearing. But since the Yankees are still in it, in a live or die circumstance tonight, I'm going to be rooting for the Yankees. I'm going to tell you right now.
Microphone is officially broken here. I am. We're going to have a meeting after this meet. After this,
Angel, root for the home team.
I did. They lost.
Ask me. Why I'm so excited today.
I'm excited, but yes, tell me why. Why are you excited?
Because it's been actually probably several months since we've actually been able to rope someone in as a guest, and we've been able to do that with one of my favorite people, Jane Capozzella. Jane, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Angel, I want to tell you a little bit something about Jane, and I'm going to tell you something about you because you guys both share this characteristic. So Janie and I have been working together for how many years, Jane?
25.
I first met Jane when she was actually working as a waitress at an old restaurant in Middletown called Cafe Allegro. And she was so absolutely stunning, both beautiful person, competent, smart. I'm saying, wow, this woman, like, she's a waitress, which is cool, but like, she could do so much more. Like, she's the kind of person that you just want to have around. And then, as it turns out, you know, because everybody in Middletown knows each other, at least they did in the day, Jane ends up working at the hospital and she ends up in our department. Now, Jane was absolutely not qualified to do anything in our department because we have such a highly specialized department. But every once in a lifetime, a person like Jane or a person like you, Angel, comes on board an organization without any specific formalized training. You guys didn't go to medical school. You didn't get your master's in mathematics or whatever. But what you guys have going for you is anything that's asked for you guys to do, you do better than anybody could do. Even someone with a, you know, 12-year doctorate level degree from Harvard University, you guys could do easily. And the organization is so happy to have lucky, I should say, to have both of you guys. So that's the quality that defines both of you. Wow. The other thing I wanted to say was that today's podcast, we're going to be actually doing a little bit of a rant because I'm very angry at the insurance companies. And Jane is our field expert, sort of in billing and insurance. And she's a very great resource for our cancer survivors. And I'm going to tell you guys what's been going on, you know, I call it in the trenches. And when I was in medical school, one of my professors said to us, we were in lab and she said, you know, you guys are practicing medicine in a time where there's going to be a lot of change. You guys all wanted to be doctors, but being a doctor during your career is going to be a lot different than it ever has been before. And that's, boy, I'll tell you, talk about somebody being able to read the future. In the old days, doctors could make decisions and they could, you know, basically push people around and tell the insurance companies what to do and what tests they needed, and they would just get it done. And all of a sudden, there's been a switch. The insurance companies are so powerful, Angel. Their decisions are sometimes so ridiculously poor and actually dangerous for the patient. And Jane and I, on a daily basis, are never short of a bad story, not just for patients getting unnecessary testing, which was part of the problem that switched the pendulum over, Not just patients getting x-rays or workups that may be not scientifically necessary, not even follow-up studies where we can tell with confidence a survivor that they no longer have cancer, their cancer is in remission, but down to the meat and potatoes treatments. We have patients that we see every day whose treatments are delayed by weeks because their insurance just will not approve them. They get automatically denied. It goes into appeal. The appeals take time. And there have been cases, right, Jane, where it takes weeks to get an approval. So, Angel, you have, you're a husband, you're a father, you're a patient yourself. Your son is undergoing specialized testing. You take your son to a tertiary care specialist in New York City, and they say, Angel, in order for us to make sure your son is perfect, we need to do an MRI. So you schedule an MRI. And then the day of the MRI, you get a call from the hospital and they tell you, Angel, God bless you. We love the fact that you want to get your MRI here and have your medical care here. But guess what? Your insurance company has not authorized this MRI. And I'm afraid Noah cannot come in today unless you want to pay $3,500 out of your pocket. How would that make you feel?
Really, really, really upset and disappointed. And I can tell you right now, this actually happened to me. You're giving me a scenario. I can tell you right now, this happened to me in the last month where, and I'll make this as quick as I can. I had an MRI already scheduled. We waited for the authorization and the authorization never came through. I had to go through an appeal process. And it took me almost a month, which delayed everything that was needed. So it's very frustrating. Especially if you're a person that needs answers. In my case, it's a back issue where I'm having a lot of pain, where I needed this MRI so we can take ourselves to the next step so that we can do and treat this medically. So yes, it's very heartbreaking. And just to hear the words from your mouth saying that you can still have it, but you have to pay out of pocket. Well, we're living in a day and age where there's people that can't even afford to buy a carton of milk. That is just depressing.
Terrible. And Jane, I wanted, first of all, thanks again for being on. A 20 second, just intro for you. Like, how did you end up where you are now? Because you're the best at what you do right now. And you're better than anybody I've ever met. And I have my own billing company and I wish you basically were my billing company. But tell me how you ended up from cutting blocks, 20 years ago, to being basically the goddess of coding and billing and patient advocacy.
So how it evolved was I got more involved in the billing and had to, because we really have to, make sure everything is set in stone before we let it go out the door to the insurance carrier. So what I did at that point is, I said, I want to become certified. So I studied for 6 months, took a seminar, then took the test after. Unfortunately, I was sick as a dog there. I was very upset that I might fail, but I did not. I passed. And then just research is everything. And everything is really at our fingertips as far as just Googling. And I want to make sure that I know that I have everything there. Insurance companies are very frustrating to me. You know that firsthand. I have not been quiet about that. And it's awful because the time that we spend on it, meaning physicians and the clinic, is crazy because you're taking away from what you should be doing and taking care of a patient or doing their planning, getting them started with their treatment. They're in severe pain. And we have to jump through hoops to try and get them even started. And we have to give comparison plans. It's just more work. And actually, what's really strange, there's time required to secure a prior authorization. It has a financial impact of more than $40 million per year for academic centers. Now, of course, we're not at that, but we know how much time it takes away from and that we have to put into it and what it costs us too. But
Jane, I think you would, yep, and I appreciate that insight. You know, I think you would agree with me. Where the insurance companies have succeeded in becoming very wealthy, some of them at least, is in their attention to detail. They recognize that our system, the medical system, is broken because we're overburdened with work. So what they have done is they have found all the little loopholes that they need in order to try to slow the process down of approving a claim. Again, the claim could be for something as mundane as a workup or a follow-up, but we're going to talk about both of those, but we're going to particularly stay on treatment because that's where people, you know, get the most freaked out. So being that they know we're busy, being that they know that our documentation sometimes has holes in it, because if you can imagine, we're going from room to room to room to room and we're dictating or typing in our notes, and the notes sometimes are incomplete or, you know, maybe sometimes inaccurate or whatever. And they take that and they do it to their advantage as a for-profit company. Now, I get, you know, the whole capitalist thing, United States, we're a capitalist society, you know, it's a free, you know, free trade kind of situation where survival of the fittest and the best businesses, the leanest businesses, the businesses that are able to be smarter than the other businesses are the ones that survive. But the only problem is the commodity that's in question here is not a widget or a screw or a wrench or a toilet seat or a blouse. It is a person's life. So by utilizing these loopholes, which they have absolute legal recourse to do, and by actually doing these policies that are probably now illegal, like the policy of auto denial. So that was a policy back when I was a young doctor, when insurance companies would just basically take a claim and deny it, even if it was a righteous claim, with the knowledge that maybe, you know, two people out of 10, maybe an elderly patient or whatever, may not even like read the fine print and say, oh, geez, I guess this wasn't covered. I'll pay the $300 when they don't have to. So they started making a lot of money with these auto denials. And I think that the law kind of caught up with them on that one. And then they got into the loophole system. So the loophole system is where they take a situation of a patient who comes in for treatment, and then they'll say, we're denying your treatment. And then they'll say, send us documentation. And Jane will say, we sent you documentation. And then they'll say, we didn't get it. And then we send it again. And they'll say, we didn't get it. And we have the faxes and the emails all, okay, you know, there's nothing technically wrong, but they're just not getting the information. When they get the information, they find, oh, well, this is missing, or that is missing, or this is missing. And then we have to, you know, amp it up or whatever. Then they might deny it. And then you have to do what's called an appeal. So you can do a peer-to-peer, you know, appeal. And they actually have physicians. I don't know how they did it, but they actually got doctors to sign up to be, you know, members or, you know, I guess employees of these insurance companies, who then have this book, they call it their Bible. And they basically have a page for each, you know, problem, each issue, whether it be, we're on an oncology podcast, but it could be anything, cardiology, pediatrics, and they'll go to the test you want. Okay, Dr. Ianelli, you want a PET scan? Okay, here's the criteria that you can have, you need in order to get this test approved. And you go through, you know, okay, I have all these. And they say, well, we don't have that. I said, okay, I'll send it. And then I've been actually, to be fair to the docs, you know, with rare exception, most of them are human. You know, most of them really want to help me and want to help the patient. A couple of them are basically just absolutely by the book and they don't understand. Many times I don't even talk to a radiation oncologist. I'll talk to an internist or a nurse, somebody who doesn't even speak my language. And they'll deny me for reasons because they're ignorant or whatever. But this is the process. And I'm going to tell you where it hurts the most. It hurts the patient. And Janie is with me every day when we're doing chart rounds or we're doing our MDQA. And we're sitting there and we'll tell a patient who has a painful bone metastasis, okay, we're going to do 5 days of radiation for you. And they're in agonizing pain. And I say, okay, we're going to start you on Wednesday. And then, you know, we all meet, we, you know, do the plan, we expedite, they get, you know, our man, John, in the CT scan with Caitlin and Doug and David and everybody, they get it done. They, you know, they do extra work, they fit them in, they double book, we get the patient taken care of. They're all ready. Me or Dr. Gonzalez run over to physics. We get the plan done, approve the plan. They're ready to go the next day. And then we hear Jane say, oh, one problem. No authorization. Jane, how many times does that happen a day?
It happens quite often, and it's heart-wrenching. You know, I've called in the past on my own, and you have to, what the insurance company does now is, what's the member's ID number? Like they are not a person. They have taken that human part out of the mix. So you have to really try and put it back in there. It takes a certain person to do that. We don't always have that in our corner, but you know, we try as hard as we can. And then a lot of times it falls into Dr. Iannelli or Dr. Gonzalez's lap when they have to do peer-to-peer and take away from, you know, maybe a consult that a patient needs to start. But it does happen all the time. Do you know that Rad Onc is the highest prior authorization than any other medical specialty?
I did not know that. I didn't know. And in fairness to the lower level people, I will say this. I mean, they do take advantage of the fact that, you know, the economic market right now is very, very tight. Mm-hmm. People might be single parents, or even if they're married, you know, I mean, they're on a shoestring. They're barely making ends meet. And they need a job. I mean, you know, pretty much to put food on the table, they may actually kill them that they're, you know, that they're putting another human being through distress. But, you know, they have to make their salary. I mean, I think that really the criminals are more the higher level people in the insurance company, because what ends up happening is, and this is actually true, Angel, you're not going to believe this, the bonuses they give each other in the insurance industry are ludicrous. They're absolutely obscene. They're in the tens of millions of dollars. These executives, if their people perform at a certain level where they're saving the company and the company is not paying out for their clients, they call them clients, they're not clients, they're patients who are sick. And if they're able to come up to a certain metric and save the company money, it's not that little, you know, single mom, you know, who's, you know, having to deal with, you know, the heartbreak and the heart wrench. She's not getting $10 million bonuses. You know, she's probably not barely, you know, making minimum wage. It's the people who never have to interact, get their hands dirty. It's the people that, it's not even the doctors. It's the higher, you know, it's the higher insurance company executives that are making money fist, you know, hand over fist, and their bonuses. Honestly, if it were, it probably is public knowledge, but nobody really has the time or the inclination to do it. They should actually publish, you know, what some of these MVP executives are making and what some of these other insurance company executives are making, and seeing what the cost is to the human, you know, to their human patients. I won't even call them a client. I agree with Jane. Jane, you've done some research for us. You know, how can our survivors, because Angela and I always say, it's very easy to pick, you know, to pick a subject and go through all the problems, but we also try to come up with some solutions.
Solutions for prior authorization?
Any information, to me, a solution could be informational. So even if you were to just tell the survivor about the process, about, you know, how when they come into the system, there's the codes that you look at, you know, as it relates. And those codes, if there's a mistake in the codes, and I have to be honest, Angel, you know, and to the survivors out there, you know, we're not perfect either. Sometimes those delays are on us. Sometimes we're miscoding. And, you know, it's not unusual for me to see 1907 pop up on my phone for Jane to scream at me because I put in the wrong code. And I better get my act together, or, you know, she's going to come and You know, come give me a hard time. But I, you know, but I think information, Jane, is what I'm looking for. If people could understand the process, because all they know is they come into a doctor's office and that's that. And I'm going to, before I let you talk, I have one more story. It just happened tonight. That's why I want to tell it. One of the sweetest couples that we've met forever, Martin and his wife, they're spiritual people. They live on a commune, you know, a religious commune in the area in Walden, and they're the nicest people in the entire universe. And he's doing fantastic. He's doing so well. He was literally on his deathbed and he's doing so well. And he was supposed to have chemotherapy tomorrow. So his wife calls me and she's so sweet. She said, "Dr. Iannelli, I didn't know who to call. We're supposed to have Martin's chemo tomorrow or immunotherapy tomorrow. And the insurance company denied it. They said that we didn't make our payment." So I said, "Hold on. I'm running over to infusion." It was 4:30. Thank God Allie was still there. I ran to Allie. I said, "Allie, we have to take care of this." And in 3 minutes, she got it taken care of, got the approval. But imagine if she didn't have the wherewithal or didn't have my number, you know, to call me. She's not going in tomorrow. She's not going to waste her time. She, you know, of all people, she doesn't have the money to pay for an infusion. And, you know, and that's what our patients go through every day. And it's terrible. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jane. You're up.
No, you didn't interrupt. I mean, for our patients, first of all, if you say something, a patient needs to start right away. And we know for the reasons of, you know, they have metastatic bone disease. They're in extreme pain. They can barely walk. I will then go to our person and tell them exactly what to say, that they need to call. And this is emergent. It needs to start right away. The patient needs to start. And you really have to lay it on thick. And just hope that you have the right person on the other end of that phone when you're talking to them. I think when you talk to insurance companies too, staying even keeled and as calm as can be usually helps too. But for the patients, I will give them my phone number, show them where my office is. I'm always there for them. I mean, after 25 years, you really know the ins and outs of our electronic medical record and then the hospitals. So I toggle between both of them. You know, we have to make them aware there's a lot of behind the scenes work that's being done too. But, you know, sometimes just giving them a caring person, a lending, you know, my ears there for them, listening to them. But I will do anything.
I know you will. And you know what's really sad, Jane? I feel this coming. Arnell has, who's our other person with authorizations, she has made this clear to me a few times. The insurance company realizes that the people that they've hired are human. And they realize that when these people, even though they're given their marching orders, that then when they hear a story like I've just told, they may crack, you know, they may crack. They might say, "Wow, this is just too much. It's really unfair. We got to make this happen." What they're doing now is to try to prevent that. They're trying to prevent any person-to-person interface. They're trying to create basically a pure electronic interface where there's no people involved. It's just information and denials without us telling the story of this person, of this patient, and what they're going through, and trying to get somebody to just give us, you know, a hint as to what's the answer that we need to provide, you know, for them to get their approval and get started on the treatment. So Jane, I don't know if you've been noticing that, but I see that as perhaps the blackness of the future.
Yes. Well, they do that a lot now. And sometimes we try to bend those rules when we know that the patient really has to start. I mean, I've been on with clinical like RNs. And I think in my background, what plays into that is when I worked with the therapist as an assistant. So I got that clinical portion of it. That I spoke to one lady and we had our authorization within 2 hours, but now they want everything, like you said, faxed in or electronically sent through a portal. With the clinicals, and like you said, they'll say they did not receive a portion of it. It's all a game, and it's really a bad game that they're playing. Hey, listen, we all like to play games, board games, but you cannot play with people's lives. That's where I kind of draw the line.
I couldn't have said it any better, Jane. That was beautiful. And to our patients, again, getting to the point and the crux of this podcast, I want you all to know, Jane wants you all to know, Angel wants all you to know, that we understand what's going on out there. And we want to let you know that there's a problem. And we want you to know that there are people like Jane. And again, Jane is our gem. But there are many Janes that are whose purpose professionally is to try to be your liaison to help you work with information in order to get your approvals. Going into an unfair fight without an advocate is like taking candy away from a baby. And Jane, you go to the conferences, you've met your colleagues, they are all as passionate as you. But I'm lucky we have you. I wouldn't trade you for 100 of those other colleagues because of what you are to our patients. And I thank you for coming on today.
Thank you so much. Everything you said was really heartfelt and brought a little tear. I almost had to take my tissue up here before.
There you go. Angel Santana, I always give you the last word.
You know, I think it's very profound that we have people in this industry that is all about the patient. You know, since we've started this journey here at the Croc Podcast, we have identified that the system is broken. I think that having episodes like today and showing individuals the peek behind the curtain just solidifies the fact that this is broken. It has to be fixed. But kudos to both of you and Jane, you know, for going beyond, you know, the call of duty to help out a patient, because one day it could be me. It could be any of us. The one thing that I think is so important is how we continue to try to inspire others, whether that's in the medical field or in the, you know, in any other field, is to just learn to be that person that we should be inside, which is trying to do all that we can to help others in a time of need. So there's definitely a special place for all of you in heaven, but more importantly, here on earth. So I commend you both for a great job. And Jane, I'm so honored that we work together in the same you know, facility, but more importantly, that you're helping patients each and every day.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and Jenny, you're an excellent guest, an excellent podcaster. I bet you Angel is just thinking when he could steal you to be on his podcast.
Already made a note.
And you know what's funny is one quick thing, Angel, because it goes to what you were just saying. This is my motto. It's actually on the bottom of my email. You should treat people the way you want to be treated. Put yourself in their shoes. And it's a very easy motto. Like, how would you want to be treated? That's how we should always treat everyone else. And that's the bottom line.
Well said. Angel Santana, Half Faith, Let It Begin. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it very much. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Thank you, buddy. My board of directors, the greatest board of directors ever. Thank you for your trust. Thank you for your direction. Michael John Benzea, Jane, you know Mikey, and yes. Charlotte Larson, thank you for your generosity, for making this podcast happen. And of course, my pep talk of the week to our survivors. We know you're going to have dark days, and we want those dark days only to be related to your cancer, to your disease, and your doctors and your nurses and your therapists and your physicists to be there to take away your pain and to cure your disease and take away your cancer. And the last thing we want is for you to worry even one molecule about all of the other horseshit, all of this insurance stuff, all of this denials and monies and co-pays and all the stress and the delays in your treatment because your insurance company is not playing fair. We are really, really sorry that you have to endure that, but please do what we say. Find your Jane Capozzella and ask her, him to help you get through this. You guys are worthy. You guys are special. You guys are heroes. You guys are our souls. And I end this podcast like I end every single podcast on behalf of the board. We wish you a long, healthy, cancer-free life, free of any ridiculousness from the insurance companies. May God bless you. Be with you. Peace.